Welcome to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson. It is a big week for California and for agriculture in California as the state reopens, and several events are scheduled for the week. We've had interview on three of those, and we're going to highlight them for you today. But before we get into the events, we're going to break format just a little and start today with our news brief. Organic Valley says the company has recorded sales of $1.2 billion for the year ending 2020. With industries in chaos and conventional dairy markets forced to dump milk amid the pandemic, Organic Valley says it held a stable price for its family farms, improved financials, and grew a steady demand for organic milk and dairy. As more people chose to cook from home in 2020 or had to cook from home in 2020, Organic Valley experienced consolidated sales growth of 4.5%. The Environmental Protection Agency and Army Corps of Engineers last week announced intent to repeal and replace the Navigable Waters Protection Rule. Michael Clement shares more on what that means for farmers and ranchers.
The American Farm Bureau Federation calls the intent to rewrite the Navigable Waters Protection Rule a blow to agriculture. Don Parrish, AFBF Senior Director of Regulatory Relations, says the focus of the rewrite is concerning.
There's a little bit of confusion about exactly what EPA is proposing here, but they are definitely saying that they are going to repeal and replace. They're focused on ephemeral features and adjacent wetlands. What they're going to do is probably take a significant step back from the clarity that the Navigable Waters Protection Rule provides.
Parrish says the concern is returning to burdensome and unclear regulations.
When you start talking about ephemeral features, features that are ditches or even less than ditches, they only have water in them when it rains. All of a sudden, you're really kind of glossing over the fact that you're regulating land use as opposed to water. If that's their target, the whole issue of where water ends and land begins, there's a real question mark on the landscape. And it's going to create all kinds of issues.
Parrish adds the issue is whether the rule protects water or regulates land use.
I don't know where this is going, but it is clearly going to be a really detailed and a really significant fight. And I need farmers and ranchers to understand that this is not a fight about protecting water quality, because the Navigable Waters Protection Rule does that. This is a fight over land use.
Learn more at fb.org/issues. Michael Clements, Washington.
More from the American Farm Bureau. Recently introduced legislation would create greater price discovery and transparency within the cattle market, while giving producers more tools and useful information. The Farm Bureau-backed Optimizing the Cattle Market Act of 2021 would direct USDA to create a cattle formula contracts library and increase the reporting window for cattle committed from 7 to 14 days. The bill would also require USDA, in consultation with the department's chief economist, to establish mandated minimums for regional negotiated cash and negotiated grid live cattle trade. Once Florida Valencia orange production finishes within the month, USDA will have its final estimates regarding total orange production for the U.S. Rod Bain reports.
Boosted by a 2% increase in Florida's total orange production in June, the all U.S. orange production totals also rose this month, up 1% according to USDA's latest production forecast. According to Mark Hudson of the National Agricultural Statistics Service,
for Florida, we went up 1 million boxes, and it's all in the Valencia portion, to 52.7 million boxes, which is up 3% from last month's forecast.
Hudson adds the Florida Valencia harvest is the final crop to come in regarding the total U.S. orange crop for the 2020-21 season.
We do a row count survey. We count the rows harvested. And our row count survey indicated that 99% of essentially all of the Valencias were harvested. Now, they haven't all made it to processing plant. It's wrapping down a lot of plants to be finishing up this month or early next month.
With the last USDA orange crop production report for this season set for July, I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The June World Agriculture Supply and Demand Report offers minor changes from last month. This month's corn outlook is for reduced beginning and ending stocks. Beginning stocks are down 150 million bushels, reflecting projected increases in corn used for ethanol and exports. Corn used for ethanol increased 75 million bushels, and weekly ethanol production data indicates demand is almost back to levels seen before COVID-19. The season average farm price received by producers is unchanged at $5.70 per bushel. The U.S. wheat crop could be bigger than expected, but it's the opposite situation for the Brazilian corn crop. Here's Gary Crawford with more.
Looks like the winter wheat crop will be a little larger than USDA had projected a month ago, 2% larger at just over 1.3 billion bushels, which would be up 12% from last season's crop. USDA field surveys showing yields higher than expected, and so USDA is putting average yields now at 53.2 bushels an acre, up 2.3 bushels from last year, and that would put the all wheat crop at just under 4% bigger than last season. Meanwhile, on the corn front, most private analysts were expecting USDA to cut its forecast for Brazil's second crop corn. Indeed, that's what happened, a cut of about 3%, down to 98.5 million tons, putting the crop at about 3.5% smaller than last season's record. But there were no significant changes to USDA's projections for U.S. new crop corn exports or prices. For old crop corn, they did raise projections for exports and ethanol use. No change, again, to price forecasts for corn. Average price old crop, $4.35 a bushel. Upcoming crop, $1.35 more at $5.70. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Well, we found out last week that JBS paid $11 million to the hackers behind a ransomware attack that happened last month. In a press release, the company confirmed the payment. At the time of the payment, most of the company's facilities were operational. However, in consultation with internal IT professionals and third-party cybersecurity experts, the company decided to mitigate any unforeseen issues related to the attack and ensure no data was exfiltrated. JBS USA leadership states the payment will prevent any potential risk for its customers. The deadline for public comment on USDA's plans to strengthen food system supply chains is fast approaching. Stephanie Ho has more.
The deadline for making public comment on food system supply chain resilience is June 21st.
USDA is working to strengthen the U.S. food and agricultural supply chain and to transform our food system. So we're trying to transform it to one that is more fair, it's more competitive, it's more transparent, it's healthier, it's more sustainable.
Mei Wu is Deputy Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs.
So in order to do it the right way, we need feedback from farmers and ranchers and producers, food processors, and all the others who are important parts of the links in the chain.
One major impetus for focusing on supply chains was disruptions caused by the COVID pandemic.
It has revealed a lot of the weaknesses that we have in our network as we try to move food from processors and producers to consumers. So we're taking this opportunity to see what lessons we've learned from the pandemic, and then we want to apply them to how we want to transform our food system.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Leading U.S. agriculture groups call for lawmakers to come together on a bipartisan infrastructure package. Led by Farmers for Free Trade, a letter to lawmakers includes support from every step of the U.S. supply chain. The letter comes as negotiations among a bipartisan group of senators accelerate and congressional leaders weigh the path forward for infrastructure investments. The letter states American agriculture depends on access to new foreign and domestic markets, and that access depends on reliable infrastructure. Further, the letter states, we ask all members of the 117th Congress to recognize the importance of infrastructure to the health of the nation's food and agricultural economy. That is our news brief for today. We'll be right back.
Soil and Crop Incorporated is your number one resource for sustainable nutrition. Growers are faced with difficult challenges, and Soil and Crop Inc. has the experience, fertilizer, and biological portfolio to dramatically increase yield and performance in your troubled orchards and fields. Contact Soil and Crop Incorporated today for a free consultation on how we can help reverse the challenges you face as a conventional or organic grower so you can increase your bottom line and become a better sustainable farmer. Contact us today at 559-564-1236. Or visit our website at www.callnrg.com. Soil and Crop, putting nature to work for you.
The My Ag Life Daily News Report is brought to you in part by the California Walnut Board.
There are several events happening around the state this week, and today we're going to highlight three of them. First on the list, the 2021 Virtual Almond Day from JCS Marketing. That is tomorrow. You can still sign up today at the West Coast Nut Growers Guide website. We talked last week with JCS Marketing President and CEO Jason Scott.
Okay, Jason, you have Almond Day coming up. 2021 Almond Day, tell me what's on the agenda and what are you most excited for?
Well, Yeah, thanks, Sabrina. I'm most excited about bringing the almond industry together from all parts of the state. We're going to have almond growers from Northern California all the way down to down south to the Bakersfield area and everywhere in between. So one of the fun things about putting on these virtual events is that we're able to get together easily over the internet. And so it'd be nice to be able to visit with almond growers from all over the state. We've got a great lineup set up for everybody. We're going to be covering some critical topics like leaf-footed bug, best practices for nitrogen, improved management for spider mites, and many, many, many more topics.
How can somebody register for this?
So you can go to our website at WCNGG.com. And then if you go to our website, there will be a place where you can go and you can register. We also can send you a link, or you can just call in, whatever's easiest for you.
And how soon do you need to register? Almond Day is coming up on the 15th, June 15th. Is that right?
Yeah, June 15th. The sooner the better.
What would be the last day that you can register?
I would say that we'll take you all the way up to that morning. Obviously, once we start at 8 a.m., it'll be too late by then. But I would say if you could register by the 14th would probably be ideal.
So with everything going on, there are a lot of things on growers' minds right now. And when we talk to growers, we hear about different challenges that they're seeing out in the orchard. And it sounds like there are several of those topics that will be discussed during the Almond Day.
Yeah, so the Almond Day was designed to kind of cater to almond growers during the harvest season. And so all of the topics that we'll be covering are issues, IPM issues, nutrition issues, and the types of things we face at harvest. So an almond grower can attend this conference and get just-in-time information about things happening in their orchard and being able to go out and to apply immediately.
Are there CE units available?
We do. We do have CE units available. I believe there's 3 approved units available for this course. So a great opportunity to get some CE units, to learn about the latest and greatest. We'll have some networking opportunities. We're going to have a virtual trade show again. And so there'll be experts on hand to learn about products. And so it's just a great day. It's half a day. So it's fairly painless. You show up at 8, you're done by before lunch, and you can get some CE hours out and learn about some very important things happening at harvest time in your orchards.
You mentioned it at the beginning, but one of the things, I know that we've had so many challenges in 2020 with everything getting canceled and moving virtual, but one of the real positive upsides to everything going virtual is that you can have growers from all over the state attend. And even if they're hearing about this for the first time right now, they can still plan to attend without having to drive, 3 or 4 hours. So are you finding that you're getting a wider, group of growers together because of that?
We are. We are finding that we're able to get a bigger, more vast group of growers together from different parts of the state. It used to be that when we were doing live events, right, we'd be in the Fresno market and the majority of the growers would be from Fresno County. And then we would get kind of some pockets of Southern California and even, Northern California. We have some real committed growers that do travel to our regional events. And we are grateful for those diehard fans that do that. But yeah, I think one of the things that's been really nice about these virtual events, as challenging as I think they can be at times, is that it creates an opportunity for growers to be able to easily plug in and attend these events no matter where you are in the state. You don't have to wait for us to come to you. And so I think that's been a really nice feature, and it's been something that I think a lot of growers have taken advantage of over the last year, is being able to just go to your computer and attend these virtual events.
And then once again, people can sign up or register by going to the website, which was WCNGG.com. You can pick up on that. That's the initials for West Coast Nut Growers Guide. Head there and find a link to register.
Absolutely. Yep. So if you're in the almond industry, you definitely want to be here. It's the only thing to do on June 15th. And so no excuses. The event's free, free education, free CE credits. If you're in the almond industry, don't miss out. Don't be left out of that amazing opportunity to learn something, to network with our exhibits, and be part of the almond industry.
That website again is WCNGG.com. We'll be right back.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
Next on our list of events, on Wednesday, Western Growers is having an open house at its tech center. I talked with Walt DeFlock, Vice President of Innovation, about the event.
If we could start out with a description of what the technology center is.
Sure. So the tech center is on the ground floor of the Taylor Building. So physically, it's a shared workspace that the ag tech startups can use when they're in Salinas for their office or for their meeting needs with growers or partners. Larger picture than that, it's really the manifestation of Western Growers as an on-ramp with market access into the California specialty crop market. So for companies that are maybe not here, right, we've got a lot of, the problems we solve are global problems with global solutions. And so a lot of startups are international or outside of California. They use our location and our market access to plug into, if you will, the fruits, nuts, and veg market for largely California with some complementary states. So it's both the physical location and it's an organized way to get market access to our growers.
Are there any specific examples that you can talk to us about?
Oh, in terms of growers that are working with startups working with growers?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's 50 residents right now, any given time. I couldn't tell you who's actually doing things like field trials and grower discovery calls right now. But, in a normal week, we will facilitate multiple startups conversing with multiple growers. Our growers are the biggest specialty crop growers in the world, and we do well over 50%, and a lot of crops, 70% of global production, right, across their specialty crop network. And so, Taylor Farms, Driscoll Berries, Wolf Farming, I mean, some of the biggest operators are our growers. That's who the startups want to talk to. That's who they want to sell to. And it's our job to make that connection happen and make it happen efficiently and effectively. Because as you can imagine, with all the increase in funding in the space and all the increase in startups in the space, in a lot of cases, the growers are overwhelmed, right? They've got so many startups reaching out. So one of the key jobs for the center and my team is to make sure that there's some organization to the chaos and that not everybody need to have a conversation with every grower, right? We try and have some method to the madness and get some scale to it.
And it's located in Salinas, and there, I mean, could there possibly be any better place than Salinas for a center like this? Because it's, you know, when you're talking about specialty crops, that is such a primary growing area.
Exactly. And the folks that grow here obviously grow a lot of other places. So it's both the best physical location, and then it's also, I think, in a lot of ways, the best global location to be, because our growers are the growers that are down in Yuma, down in Imperial, you know, in other geographies as well, to get that 12-month fresh growing season put together. So, yes, we think this is the perfect place to be located. And, no, there's a reason it's here. You're exactly right.
You mentioned that it's not just California-specific, too. That, I mean, of course, you know that there are several specialty crops that are grown in other states, you know, Oregon, Washington, even in some southeast states as well. And growers and people from those states can get involved as well?
That's exactly right. If you look at our Global Harvest Automation Initiative, which we launched in February in Tulare, in fact, we were there the week that the normal Tulare event couldn't be there because they're big, right? Really big if you've been to Tulare.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the property that week, and we launched Global Harvest, and we had a great presentation day. We had seven countries participating, right? Because you've got growers everywhere that need the help with harvest, and you've got startups everywhere. So again, we had Australia, New Zealand, Israel, Spain, UK, I'm forgetting a couple, US obviously, and all of these startups that aren't in the US market, they know they need to be here because of the size of our market. So it was both a great launch to get everyone fired up about, look at all the great innovation that's happening in strawberries and apples and on the veg side with lettuce and romaine and spinach and all kinds of stuff. So we've got all this great technology that's out there, and we've got all these global innovators that are out there. And again, our job is to help them move into markets faster. So we facilitate the conversations with the growers. We facilitate the field trials with the growers, because the number one thing that a grower wants is show me who else used this and show me how it worked. And the number one thing a smart startup should want is the same thing. Let me show you this other grower that looks like you and how they use my product and how it worked for them. So all of that is in our charter to basically facilitate and accelerate.
And that's a perfect lead in to the event that you're having on Wednesday of next week, an open house. Tell me what the hope is for that.
You know, just to remind everybody that the center is here and we're now fully open for business. And so those people that maybe were working from home or were working remote and were concerned about, hey, can I come into the building now? Can we work as a group again? Can we get together with partners and potentially customers? The short answer is yes. And so while ag has remained an essential industry the entire time, and AgTech's been able to ride under that same umbrella as essential industry supporting ag, you know, as of the 15th, the target date, Governor Newsom's going to open the state, and we're more than happy to come a day behind that and say, hey, you know, we're open, we're here, come use the center, come get your meeting started, because you know ag, and it's true of a lot of segments, but it's very true for ag. Nothing gets conversation started like in person. As good as a Zoom may be, as a call may be, those in-person meetings are powerful. We've certainly heard that over the last year from folks who are struggling to get them. And we just want to make it clear that ag's open for business, the center's open for business, and we're ready to hear folks.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, Zoom has been a, you know, great filler during this last year, but nothing beats that person-to-person contact. That's, you know, how relationships.
That open house is on Wednesday, June 16th, from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. You can find more information on the Western Growers website, www.wga.com. We'll be right back.
Agromayor Nursery is the premier nursery in California. Whether it's almonds, walnuts, pistachios, prunes, or olives, Agromayor has been the grower's source for over 20 years and is the home of Rootpack R Almond, Grizzly Walnut, and the North American plants UCB1 and Platinum Clonal Pistachio Rootstocks. As the worldwide leader in super high-density almonds, olives, and prunes, Agrimiora can show you how to cut costs and increase yields with their super high-density rootstock Root Pack 20. For more information or to schedule a site visit, contact a representative at 530-812-3398 today.
Our final stop this week is the Western Ag Processors Association annual meeting. It kicks off with a reception on Wednesday, then a golf tournament, a trade show and dinner on Thursday, and the main sessions on Friday. I talked recently with Roger Isom about the event, and before we get into the interview, I want to make a note. Since Roger and I talked, another big item has been added to the agenda, a discussion on ports. So that will also be taking place at the WAPA event. Here's my discussion with Roger.
So, tell me what is in store for us in June.
Sure. Well, you're absolutely right. It is the first official meeting. It literally starts the day after the state opens up. So it's I think people are just excited to go to a meeting and be able to talk to other people in the industry. We also have the trade show that's going on with the annual meeting. So a lot of the equipment suppliers and vendors and that haven't had an opportunity to meet with people and really, you know, sell their product and just talk to the industry. And so this is going to provide that opportunity. We've got several vendors that are registering right now as we put that trade show together. And we have, in terms of the agenda, we have a great agenda set up. We've got well-known political columnist Dan Walters from Sacramento. He's going to give us his kind of thoughts on what's going on in Sacramento and his perspective. But in addition, we actually have two people from the legislature. A Democrat, Autumn Burke from Los Angeles, is going to be on a panel with Republican Heath Flora. And Heath is, you know, from the Valley, from the Modesto area, but he's going to give kind of the Republican view. And it won't be one of these ones where it's political partisan bickering, if you will. I think they're just really going to give their perspective on what's happening in Sacramento and their understanding of the ag issues and what we might be able to do better to try to push the ag agenda, at least at the state level. And, you know, one of the things that people see Autumn on there, she doesn't have any agriculture in her district, but she's actually spent quite a bit of time in the Valley. And she's actually been an advocate for agriculture on several key issues. So she's a friend, and I think she'll give us some valuable insight on what the industry and its members should be doing. Then, of course, we've got Michael Bocadoro from the Ag Energy Consumers Association. One of the biggest issues facing not just agriculture, but really anybody who lives in California is electricity rates. And one of the big factors, well, there's two really big factors, climate change and all the rules and regulations that the state has put on the utilities. And so what, and of course, they just pass that on to us. And then the wildfires, which in some form or fashion were a cause from the caused by the utilities and some outdated equipment. Well, again, utilities aren't going to pay that themselves. They're passing that on to ratepayers. And so Michael's going to give his perspective and kind of overview of what's going to happen over the next few years, following on the heels of a PUC report, Public Utilities Commission report that came out last month that said the average homeowner in California will go from $378 a month to $570 a month for electricity by 2030. So that's a huge increase in just 8 years. And yes, that's, you know, homeowners, but it really gives an idea of what's going to happen to our members, whether you're a farmer with an electric irrigation pump, or you're an almond huller or a walnut processor. We've got some real challenges ahead. So we're going to be talking about that. And then the staff, we're going to give our updates on all of the issues that we're tackling, from water quality to air quality to labor, all the issues related to COVID, because while we are finally starting to see light at the end of the tunnel, there are still a lot of regulations in place and people wondering what to do and that. So, yeah, it's a packed agenda, but it's going to be a good meeting.
So I want to just hit on a couple of those topics that you mentioned. First off, with having the legislatures there, and I like that you mentioned we're not expecting it to be a partisan debate between the two or even between members. But I always feel that it is very good to have our legislative, you know, members of our state legislature around who don't have agriculture in their districts so that they can hear directly from the people involved in the industry. So I think that is just a great thing to have on the agenda, especially to have somebody who is interested in agriculture, but, you know, not like the rest of us, didn't necessarily grow up around it, isn't completely involved in it. So that's what are your feelings on that?
No, that you hit the nail on the head. It's absolutely important. We live in California, and, you know, more than 75% of legislators are from urban areas. So, and then if you look at the 120, right, legislators, the 40 senators and 80 assembly people, I think there is maybe two true farmers on there. The rest, if there might be somebody still connected to ag, but they're not a farmer. And then the rest have no clue. You're not going to go up there and convince people just because it's good for farming that they need to vote that way. You've got to understand their problems and try to relate what we're facing here in the Valley or other ag areas of the state to what they're facing. So we've actually, we got introduced to Autumn by actually spending time in her district. We actually participated in a back to school event and health fair that where her district is kind of Hawthorne, Inglewood area of Los Angeles. And she's right on the fringe of some pretty, pretty tough areas. And in this back to school event, we got to see some of the children and families in their district. And one of the things that really captured our attention was had 500 kids go through this health fair. And one of the things they have cancer screening, they do blood pressure checks for the parents, things like that. But they've got dental people there checking teeth and things like that, but they've got a vision van where every kid that goes through there gets their vision checked. And when we were there 2 years ago, of the 500 kids that went through, 300 needed corrected vision. And so, you know, you think about that, had that event not happened, 300 kids can't see the chalkboard, or maybe they can't read right because they need reading glasses or whatever. And the fact of the matter is that just diagnosed it for them. It didn't get glasses for them, right? But it's a challenge. And so how do we ever expect for them to be successful in life if they don't have those things? So it gives us a perspective of issues that she's facing and maybe gives us a little bit of understanding of the challenges that they face and how we can maybe relate that to things that we're facing here. We were handing out pistachios and almonds, and you would be surprised how many kids opened up the bag of pistachios and say, how do we eat this? They'd never seen it. And so, you know, you think about pistachios and that they don't have access to that. That's a luxury item to them down there. We take it for granted, right? We can go to the 7-Eleven, go, you know, pick up a bag of almonds or pistachios. You're not going to find that down there. And so they take it for granted. We did a similar thing with another assemblyman, Adren Nazarian in Sherman Oaks. His top issues, water quality. Okay, that's a big issue for us. Air quality, believe it or not, they people in their district were having a lot of trouble with South Coast Air Quality Management District. Well, that's an issue for us here. And so immediately we were able to relate and start to make some connections there. And so we've invited Autumn up to the district, actually had her tour a farm, a huller, and a processor, and actually had her talk to the employees so that they could see what was going on. And is she going to vote our way 100% of the time? No, but it gave her some perspective of what the real challenges are that we're facing. And same for us. So long answer to your question, but yes, there's an incredible value there. We can't ever get them to expect to understand what we're faced if we don't understand what they're facing. Just a similar story, the Senate Pro Tem Tony Atkins is San Diego. We never think about water supply in the Delta when you think of San Diego, right? That's so far south. They get 17% of their water comes from the Delta. And so when we talk about getting water through the Delta, whether it's the tunnels or, you know, the reduced pumping, San Diego's impacted just like we are. And it was something we never knew until we had actually sat down with her and talked about it. And so it was pretty amazing. We actually found another connection there. So And we hope that by bringing to the meeting, she'll get to meet a lot more of our members and talk about the issues. And she's actually going to come the day before, so she'll be there for the dinner to meet with several of our members. She's friends with Heath, so Heath has actually brought her to the farm show in Tulare. So I met her for lunch there a couple years ago. So here's somebody, you know, that really is willing to spend the time and try to understand our issues. So it's, again, I wish I could do that with all 120, but we got to start somewhere.
Extremely important topics that will be discussed at the meeting. What are the details of the meeting and how can people get more information?
The best way to go about it is just go to, we have a separate website just for the annual meeting, and it's WAPA-events.com. So WAPAevents.com. It has all the registration information on there, the tickets for the dinner. If you're an exhibitor, it has all the form there for you to register as an exhibitor. We're also having a golf tournament with it. So if you golf, you can register there as well. It's all right there on one page.
And how exciting is it that your event gets to be the first event? You couldn't have timed it any better, really, Roger.
No. Well, we're trying to say that the reason they made it on the 15th is because we told the governor to do so. But I don't think anybody's buying that. But it is. Yeah, it's amazing that they picked that date because our date's been picked 2 years ago. So it was really out of our control. But just it's great. We noticed the difference in not having it last year. And really, our association represents four nuts. And so there's not a lot of opportunities out there for the different segments to get together. Our annual meeting provides that opportunity and really gets people across sectors to meet and come together. And I think that's the added benefit of WAPA. And I think guys are missing that. And it'll be exciting. And for the suppliers and vendors, you know, they could go to four different meetings to get all four nuts, so they can come here and really get a chance to meet with everybody. So it's going to be informative. You know, it is definitely a business meeting, but there's some entertainment, there's some information, and really just a chance to get out there and see, you know, our colleagues in that.
You can get more information online at WAPA-events.com. That is our show for today. Coming up tomorrow, an important discussion on heat and ag labor. We talk with an expert about what you need to know. And throughout the week, I will be reporting from each of the events that we talked about today. And for more on events going on around the state, check out the calendar on our website, myaglife.com. This is the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Sabrina Halverson from the JCS Marketing Team. Thanks for listening.